Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 7. I guess I'll announce this just to put a little something out there. I need some painters that want to serve God. Not the Three Stooges painters. Painters that want to serve God. See me? I'll put something out on that. John chapter 7. Verse 7. Jesus speaking to his unsaved brothers at the time. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still at Galilee. But when his brothers were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? There was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, He's a good man. Others said, Nah, he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for something solid, something true, something pure, something set apart in a filthy, dark, dirty, sinful world. And Lord, you said where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And we look at the sin that's just manifest in this world, but we hold something greater in our hands this morning with this wonderful, wonderful Word of God. I pray you bless it to our hearts. Help us challenge us the way you have challenged me, Lord, and really sort of change things in the wee hours of the morning in this message, which doesn't usually happen, but may the Word of God have its will and way in our life, Lord. We need a wake-up call. We need a break-up call. Help us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember we talked a couple weeks ago about the world cannot hate you. He said to his brothers, because you're of it. I mean, if you could personify that verse that says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father. If you could take that and make it incarnate, make that verse into a person, would that person love you? So somebody comes along out of this world and they get saved and they meet the one that I talked about a little while ago about those palms that said, No greater love hath any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's Jesus, in case you're wondering. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And by faith, the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. And they get a hold of that love, and Christ moves maybe from the head to the heart, or not knowing him at all. And by faith, they trust Christ, and see all that he's done. And by faith, they fall in love with Jesus. It does say we love him because he first loved us. And they might even say, I love you, Lord. They certainly, if they're in a church like ours, will sing, I love you because you first loved me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. They'd sing it, and they'd say it. John chapter 14, John chapter 14. I mean, if I said to raise your hand, who loves the Lord? Who would say amen? Amen. If I was saying, who loves your wife? Say amen.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this is coming from God right now. If I said to your wife, does your husband love you? Say amen. Don't answer. But I bet you'd get a different answer than you got the previous. That's where we're going today. Hang on. Click in, buckle up, hold on to your strap. We're going up the hill. John chapter 14, verse 15.
If ye love me, that's a conditional, I think. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23. This is even more definitive. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words.
My Father will love him. We'll come unto him and make our abode with him.
Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. Missions conference coming up soon. I hope you've set the days apart. I hope you've taken vacation. I hope you set the nights apart. I hope God doesn't, you don't spell God backwards and He just gets your leftovers of your time and the leftovers of your treasure. But I hope you prioritize, I think as far as God's concerned, the most important meeting we have in a year, and that's our missions conference. Mark 16, verse 15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I want to ask you a question. Is that a command or a suggestion? I mean, if you said to your kid, go ye and take the garbage out. He didn't say, you know, it'd be nice if you did this. He said to those disciples, go ye, ye, that's plural. You won't get that in the New English. You only get that in the Old English. And it blurs who the audience. So he's talking to all of them. He didn't say, go you. Because you wouldn't know if he's just talking to one of them. Then you could sort of sneak out. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So he's talking to all of them. In another gospel, in the commission, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So in case you're saying, well, he was just talking to the disciples back there, the apostles back there, that's not for us. If he said, teaching them, the people you win, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and one thing I commanded you was to go and preach the gospel to every creature, then I think that counts for us too. That God wants us, Jesus has commanded and commissioned us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said over there, if a man love me, he will keep my word. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So here's the question. When you say and I say and we say, I love you, Jesus, by whose measure? Let me hit it closer to home. I love you, honey. By whose measure? I love you, Lord. By whose measure? His measure or your and my measure? He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He'll keep my commandment. So if I say I love him, and I don't show I love him by his definition of what one does that loves him. In this case, we're talking about, obviously, the preaching of the gospel. Do I love him by his measure? Some of you husbands and wives and kids and parents can relate. Oh, I love my parents. By their measure or your measure? If I could take the liberty to take this word love and sort of parallel it with faith in James 2. Even so, love, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. And if you don't believe that, just ask your wife. Yea, a man may say, I love Jesus. Show me thy love without his measure of keeping his commandment, which he said, if you love me, you'll keep them, of preaching the gospel to every creature, and I'll show you my love by the keeping of that commandment. In other words, I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to show it. And it works on earth, and it works with him. So if faith without works is dead, being alone, I can only conclude that by his measure, my proclamation of love for him, without bringing that good news as his child, is the same as faith without works. You and I can say, I love you to my spouse all day long, and this is what scares me, especially with the Lord, and even believe it. But here's the problem with spouses and with Jesus. Saying is not your spouse's measure of love. Showing is your spouse's and your parents' and your children's measure of love. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, I'm not an English major. You know that. But I can only conclude that if I don't keep just that one command, that by his measure, you tell me what he thinks. Maybe some of the same thing your spouses think. Or maybe some of the things you think. I love her. No, he doesn't. I told her. Saying doesn't count with love. It's showing. According to your spouse, I like to use wife because I like picking on the men. And all the women said,
amen.
What says I love you more to that woman? Saying, I love you. Or fixing that thing that you know that's broke, that drive me absolutely crazy for 5 years now. Somebody said, move on. Ladies, I know men. And for the most part, they like when your I love yous are accompanied with, I'll say, affection. I love them. I don't know all about these five love languages. They say, what's your love language? I think I thought of it, but I think I got all of them. I mean, words of affirmation, they would say, oh, you need words of affirmation, you know. I didn't get it coming up. And, I mean, I didn't get it. I got the opposite. The older you get, the dumber you get. You know what they do with kids like that? They take them out in the street and they run over them. And you wonder why I'm only half mental. I like words of affirmation. Listen, let me just put a little plug in for you that share the gift, or you that don't share the gift. It's okay to say something nice to someone or to compliment without saying, no, I don't want this to go to your head. I don't want to puff you up, oh, God forbid. Another one of those love languages, gifts. I love gifts. I mean, who doesn't like a Longhorn gift card? Acts of service. Who doesn't like being served? Quality time. Physical touch. There ain't a man on the planet don't like that one. So I like them all. But if my wife just says, I love you, but speaks none of that multilingual language,
that is my measure of her love for me.
Does she really love me?
Maybe by her measure. Do I really love him? Maybe by my measure. After all, I can feel it.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you love me, you'll do it. Now, if you're not up to speed, you're young in the Lord, you're just being discipled. In 2023, the church has a setup of how you as an individual can accomplish that impossible task of preaching the gospel to every creature. One of them is a missions program. You're going to be hearing about that. Those boxes on the back wall, you put missions money in there. And we can, this morning, you can be preaching the gospel in Zambia and in Romania and in Honduras. And around this world, you can be preaching the gospel through your giving. Well, I don't know about all that mission. If you love me, preach the gospel to every creature. Praying. Man, I got thinking about that. Jamie Homan. Remember Homan to the Romans? Young, broody guy. Man, he's in an induced coma with kidney failure and blood and these things. What? I love you, Lord. Did you pray for Jamie? Did you pray for Buddy Thigpen? Did you pray for Doug and Carolee in that dry and thirsty land? Oh, I love the Lord. By whose measure? And then what we're talking about today, by opening your mouth for Jesus Christ. And to say, I love you, Lord, and you don't do one or two or three or all three, do you and do I love him by his definition? Don't you want to love him? He said, I love them that love me. Don't you want to love him? Let me ask you this. Don't you want to be loved? By his definition? Aren't you glad he didn't just say, I love you? Love is defined by the measure of the one being loved. We get it in counseling all the time. I love her. I work all day. That's not her measure. I love him. I cook his meals. Now, if you're someone like me, that's all it takes. I'm challenging you and me this morning to love Jesus by his measure. So what says I love you more to him? I love you, Lord. Or, the Lord loves you. I'm not sure anywhere in the Bible it commands us to say, I love you, Lord. But I know in that Bible it said to go to preach the word, the gospel to every creature. And if you love me, you will. How are we doing? Now, telling people about Jesus can be intimidating. If it's intimidating for this big mouth Italian, I know it's intimidating for you. And the reason it's intimidating is because we don't know if it's going to work. So that's what I want to try to help you with today. I want to help you to love him. This is like counseling. There's a big debate today on how to effectively evangelize.
to answer the question, does it work? And from this question and this debate has come and the proponents of such ask this question about what we might affectionately call public ministry. And when I say public, I don't mean necessarily exclusively standing on a street corner, Jesus loves you. I'm talking about the workplace, the school place, the home place, the playground place, the basketball place. I'm talking about outside of the church. And the question they ask is, does that work? We'll go out on Missions Conference Saturday. Now, Missions Conference Saturday in this church is like Easter and Christmas for the Catholics. We'll get 100 people out that day. We usually get, 10, 15, sometimes 20. But that day is the big day, and I'm not discouraging it. Come on, even if that's the only day you come, you're good. But here's the question. You have 100 people on the corner with signs, some will preach and whatever. Does it work? And here's the answer to that question. It depends on your measure. We talked about loving God by His measure. Now let's talk about pleasing God by His measure. Listen, no matter how hard I try, I cannot please my wife with sour cream, clams, or cheesecake. You know what Cheesy Eddies are? They're two huge oatmeal cookies with a cream cheese filling. And I'm at that where we went over there, Calabrazella's, and I'm going to bring her some of the Cheesy Eddies. And she can't. I get home, and it's like she's not worshiping the ground I walk on. And it's like, what is the matter with this woman? And this is where the love thing, by whose measure, it's like,
you know, I don't like cheesecake.
You can't not like cheesecake. By my measure. I'll give you another example. Woke up at, I love getting up early in the morning because when you get older you have to. And I try to guess. I never look at the clock the first time. Because if you look at the clock at 2 o'clock in the morning, you ain't getting back to sleep. So I keep my eyes closed the first time. Then the second time, especially when you went to bed at 9, you can feel. When you get old, you can feel what time it is. And so before I come around, I'll guess. And I'll say 4:28. Well, this morning it was 4:32 or something like that. And I lay there and toss and turn. At 5, I got up. So I had a little extra time. God shoveled my message around and changed some things, but I had some time to go out with my sermon out for my walk. And one thing, my measure of love this morning for that woman that I pity that's been washing laundry for 11 people for 35 years. Now, there's only two left now. There's only four, but still, I just see her come up those stairs, popping that thing. So, what I do to express my love is I dig my dirty socks out of the hamper. Why? Because I'm going to walk out in this filthy thing anyways. Why put a clean pair on when that's just two socks, more socks that she's going to have to wash? And you know what? I'm glad he said that. Not to her. Aren't I a martyr? He just said it. Not to her. She thinks it's disgusting. What are you doing? Now look, I don't have them on now. I put. Look, if you wear socks for an hour when we're here, you can roll them up and wear them next week, can't you, Jay, sir? No. She ought to know I love her because of this. No, it's not her measure. First Corinthians 7. This is kind of a family, missions. Verse 33, 1 Corinthians chapter, let's start with 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Paul said, I wish you were like me. And I know some of you guys, you just want to get married, and I don't blame you. It's awesome. But don't be found single, not serving God. Serve Him while you can. And why? Verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are the world, how he may please his wife. Her measure of love and her measure of pleasure is not measured by me. Now, if I stop at Papa Joe's and pick up some gnocchis or the Chinese China Moon and surprise her with some egg rolls, now I'm speaking her. Look at she's saying, oh man, John's ribs over there. It's only natural to want to please the one you love. And that comes as a big shock to a lot of young people because they think, oh boy, I'm going to get married and now I'm really going to be pleased. There's only one problem. They're thinking the same thing. Three times in your Bible it says, pleased God. And all three times are the same vein. We won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 1:21 said, He's chosen the foolishness. It pleased God. Did you hear that? You want to please Him? If you love Him, you will. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Galatians chapter 1 said, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace. And He said, to preach the gospel. Hebrews 11, the third time it said, Enoch, man, he pleased God so much, God said, come on up here. Well, what was Enoch doing? We have one record. The seventh from Adam prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord's coming back. I like that. Does opening your mouth for Jesus Christ in public work? If your measure of success is hanging on a cross because of what you said, no, it doesn't work. But if your measure of success is pleasing God through the foolishness of preaching at the workbench or at the university or wherever it might be, then it's 100%. Does it work 100%? You can't get that with Bitcoin. You can't get it with investments. You certainly can't get it with the corn. You can't get it with the Buffalo Bills. And I got news for you, Mr. Kansas City Chief back there. You're not always going to get it with them. Got to put that picture up and defile this place. Well, at least they're winners. Do you know how Jesus could endure such contradictions against Himself? Do you know how He went into this temple here and they were murmuring and He's a good guy? No, He's not. He's a bad guy. And they were debating. He looked past all that to you and I. Did it work? Yes. That's His measure. Why do you think it said it pleased the Lord to bruise Him? There's only one answer to that question, and it's sitting in this room this morning. Hallelujah! He loves you. Do you love Him? He loves you by your measure. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. How do we know that? No greater love hath any man than this. Then He laid out His life for His friend. He paid it all! Yes. He didn't say, I love you.
He went up to that feast and they were murmuring and debating, and it doesn't even faze him. He marches right into that temple and starts in. Because he loves the Father. He said, I love Him. I do always those things that please Him. That was His driving factor. And if we are ever going to obey Him, which is His measure of love, in this instance, the preaching of the gospel, in this sin-sick sewer of the world, we are going to have to look past the sewer and look to the Savior and get out there. And you walk when they say, how'd it go? 100%! What do you mean? He's pleased. Yeah, I talked to Fred at the company today. Didn't go too. What do you mean didn't go too good? 100%. Did he get saved? That's not the measure. The preaching of the gospel is the measure. Do tracts work? 100%. Yeah, but we used to go to Buffalo, man. I got pictures of those goths burning them in a pile. Like putting a hex on them. Big pile of tracts burning. Did it work? 100%. Remember, Mike? You know, you wouldn't think, well, what do they call those people that just, I don't want to, they hurt themselves and stuff like that. You know, that's really kind of how we were. It was like you went out there and the minute you put those banners up, remember Dan, and those signs up, you were engaged. Good, bad, everything in the world. You just can't explain it. And you know, sometimes bad. It wasn't always bad. But there was a lot of bad. And we'd go back. Yeah, it was great. What is that? Pleased Him. The foolishness of preaching pleased Him. 100% success. Do you love Him enough to keep the command to give the gospel in your missions giving, in your prayers for the lost, and in your opening your mouth? Not necessarily for them, for Him. I'll tell you what, it'll be a whole lot easier. You become a Henry Christian. I went to the hospital today to evangelize and got some skin cancer cut out while I was there. Matthew 14. Yeah, I want to be an evangelist. I want to be fearless. You know who's got it? You know who's got what I'm talking about? Larry Kraft. Don't doubt it. Yeah, it was a good witness out there. I thought they were going to kill me. And he's talking like matter of fact. Larry, do you have any emotions? Are you? Yeah, it was good. Got the gospel out. For John, chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 4, John the Baptist, we're speaking of him, said unto him, it's not lawful for thee to have her. He was calling out the sin of the day. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because he counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. Oh, like the modern church. And pleased Herod. Didn't please John, didn't please God, just pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And verse 10 says, and he sent and beheaded John in a prison. I hope you don't read over that without thinking about that. Yeah, but does it work? If your measure of success is your head in a basket, John, no, it doesn't work. But if your measure is His measure of giving Him pleasure, then to hear Him say, you know what? Of every prophet I've ever had, there's no one better than this one. That was enough for John with his head in a basket. What about us?
Man, you look at some of this persecution, you know, Christian persecution. I thought the other day, of course, it's easy for me to say at my age, I'd rather die for Jesus than of cancer. Just don't miss. Just right here. I don't like pain.
Does it work, John? Not if your measure is you're heading up in a basket. Go start a magic show where they'll like you. We won't go there for time. Acts chapter 7. Does evangelism work, Stephen? Remember Stephen? You want to get the whole history of your Old Testament. It's a great Acts chapter 7. Well, if your measure of success is being stoned to death because you just gave the problem and the solution to sin, it doesn't work. Listen, Acts chapter 7 was the first rock band. Bring in the dancing girls. It doesn't work.
But you know what that Bible says in Acts chapter 7? I see Jesus standing. Big debate, you know, why was he standing? Was he going to return if the Jews accepted? Or he was greeting him, blah, blah, blah. Let's argue all day. Here's what I know. I don't know the answer to those questions. I know this. He stood. He stood. I wonder what he said. I wonder if he didn't say the first words out of Jesus' mouth when Stephen got there, I love you too. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And you'll be honest, sometime it'll be easier to die for Christ than it is to live for Christ. Because then you got to move this. The evil thing is, it's dying to self. Can I take the liberty? No greater love hath any man than this, than a man die to self for a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you love him this morning?
Hey, Apostle John, does it work? Well, if banishment is a measure of success, no, it doesn't work. Start a badminton league.
But if pleasing God so much and loving Him so much causes you to look past the negative to pleasing Him and loving Him by keeping His command so much so that the Holy Spirit would inspire Him to write the disciple that Jesus loved. Now listen, while we were yet sinners, I don't understand those verses that say, I love them that love me. Well, He loved sinners. He loved people that don't love Him too. But there's something about that. I love them that love me. He loveth a cheerful giver. Well, He loves uncheerful givers too. I want to be in the crowd with that other part.
Fishing season is upon us. I think April 1st, National Atheist Day, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But I think also in a lot of places it's opening day of fishing season. And you know when that sun starts shining and the missions conference is around the corner and the world is darker than it's ever been, I wonder, do you and I love Jesus Christ by His measure? Because if there's ever a time when we need to show it instead of say it, it's now. And if you can't see Him, look down that row at your children and grandchildren and what they're going to have to face. If any man love me, he will keep my words. Peter, do you love me? You love me more than this? You know I love you! Okay, as long as you say so. No. Then take this and do something with it. Feed my sheep. And I don't want to break the spirit of the theme of the gospel this morning, but as long as we're at it, do you love your spouse? Do you love your children? Do you love your parents? Yeah, I love them. According to whose measure?
You know what you want. You want love according to your measure. Now, if you're a rebel, you just say, yeah, I want to be able to do whatever I want. No, that's a wicked measure. Why not give God and man the love that they recognize? With 100% success. With God it is. Does it work? Oh yeah. He's pleased again. And He's pleased again. Jason, come ahead. I was teasing back there a little bit when the kids were running to the altar, but it's been awful sparse lately.